Welcome back, listeners, to Sandman Stories Presents, a folklore podcast where I read you to sleep or until the next story. I'm your host, Dustin. Today we are back in the Book of Indian Folklore from the Shimla villages in the Himalayas. Today's story is about two friends who get broken up and get into a series of adventures. Okay, let's begin. The Vizier's Son and the Raja's Son. The Vizier's and the Raja's sons were great friends, and always together. This made the Raja very jealous, and he called an old woman whom he knew and asked her to separate the two. This was a difficult task as they were such fast friends, but the old woman was anxious to gain a reward and said she would do it, so she called the Vizier's son and, when he asked her what she required, remained silent. Then she called the Raja's son and did the same. After she had gone, the two questioned each other as to what she had said, and neither would believe the other when he declared that she had said nothing at all, so they began to suspect one another of deceit, and they quarreled. Thus the old woman sowed dissension in their hearts, and after a time, instead of being friends, they became bitter enemies. The Raja's son said he insisted on knowing what the old woman had said to the vizier's son, and if he would not tell it, he must be put to death at the hands of a sweeper, or in India, a low-caste man. The sweeper was just about to do this cruel deed when the goddess Parvati saw him and implored Mahadeo, her husband, to intercede. So he sent a large stag to the jungle, and it stood near at hand. When the sweeper saw it, he killed it instead with the bow and arrows, and taking out its eyes, carried them to the Raja, and said they were the eyes of the vizier's son. Thus the prince was appeased, and again ate, drank, and was merry, until one day, walking in the garden, he saw an earthen vessel, and in it a lock of hair and a small lamp. This he felt for sure had some significance, so he longed to ask the vizier's son, who was clever, and would have told him all about it. But he remembered that the vizier's son was taken away and killed, and he himself had seen his eyes brought back in proof of the deed. Nevertheless, he wept day and night, and would not be comforted. So the Raja, his father, in great distress, sent for the sweeper, who had been told to kill the vizier's son, and implored him to declare the truth concerning his end. Then the man confessed everything, and went back and searched for the lad, and brought him back. The two boys became fast friends as before, and the Raja's son inquired the meaning of the lock of woman's hair and the lamp. "It means," said the vizier's son, "the name of a beautiful princess, called Princess of the Lamp, and she lives in a distant country." So they set out to seek her, and soon found the palace in which she lived, and outside a girl making a wreath of flowers for the princess. The Raja's son begged the girl to let him make the hal, or wreath, and in making it, he placed a letter inside. The princess was very angry when she found the letter, and made the girl tell her the truth, but she would not receive the prince after what he had done, so he had to return to his own country. Thus, he was punished for his cruelty to the vizier's son. For a second time, the friendship of the Raja's son and the vizier's son caused great jealousy, so a mischief maker was called, and he promised he would do all in his power to part them. Then he ordered a dooli and followed them into the forest. At the first opportunity, he called to the eldest, who was the vizier's son, and pretended to whisper in his ear. The Raja's son at once inquired what the man had said, and would not believe that it was nothing at all. So once again, in great anger, he ordered his friend to be killed. But the vizier's son was very clever, and soon persuaded the executioner to spare his life, for he told him the Raja's son would soon be very weary of being alone, and would ask for him back, and if the executioner could not bring him, he would most probably suffer death himself. Thus he escaped, and went and hid himself. In the meantime, the Raja's son chanced to walk by the riverside, where he saw a very beautiful woman sitting beside her husband. He admired the woman very much, and communicated his feelings in looks, though he dared not do so in words. The woman replied by first spreading a little green plaster on the ground, on which she placed a brass vessel, or lota, and over that another smaller lota, on top of which was a looking glass, with ashes spread upon it. The Raja's son looked carefully at what she had done, but could not interpret its meaning. so he bitterly regretted the death of his friend, who was noted for his cleverness, and went at once to the executioner to inquire about him. The executioner admitted that he had not killed the boy and went and called him. Then the friends went together to discover what the woman had meant, nor was the vizier's son long in finding the meaning. The green plaster meant, in a green spot lives Lota, the name of her husband, and Gudba, or smaller vessel, is the name of the city where we live. The looking glass means in a house which has many glasses in it, and the ashes mean, may these ashes be on your head if you fail to discover my meaning. After this clue, it did not take the vizier's son long to find out where the woman lived, and he put pegs into the wall, one above another, for his friend to climb up near her window. But before the Raja's son could reach the top, a kotwal, or policeman, saw him and took him away to the lockup. This was an unexpected turn of affairs, so the vizier's son quickly dressed himself as a beautiful woman and asked to see his friend in the prison. He bribed the jailer to let him in, and once there, made his friend put on his clothes and escape, while he remained prisoner in his stead. Next day, the news went abroad that the kotwal had locked up both the Raja's son and the vizier's son in the prison, and the Raja was very angry about it, and sent at once to find out the reason. They determined to put the matter as to who was innocent and who was guilty to a test. So the kotwal had a pan of boiling oil prepared, and said whoever plunged his hand into it was innocent of the crime, would not be burnt. Each dipped his hand in turn, the Raja's son, the vizier's son, the woman, and the kotwal himself, but only the kotwal had his hand badly burned, so this ended the whole affair. The Raja's son, meanwhile, had dressed himself as a woman, and taken service in the house of the beautiful woman who was the wife of the Saukar. Nobody guessed who he was until one day the Saukar himself admired him and tried to be friends with him, thinking he was only a pretty servant girl. Then the Saukar's wife gave her pretended servant girl a razor, and said keep it carefully till the next time the Saukar came to see her, and then to cut off his nose. The Raja's son, who was tired of acting the part of a servant girl, was only too glad to do this, and the Saukar, rather than let anybody know of his disgrace in having lost his nose, left the country, and thus his wife gained her ends. The end. Wow, that was a wild one. I like how these people got the two of them to break up just by saying nothing. Obviously some trust issues with those two boys. And I don't know if I could go back to being bestie friends with somebody who ordered me to be killed. Pretty wild. Also, the cross-dressing at the end was an unexpected but rather fun twist. And I like the puzzles in the middle, like, oh, this person, it means this and it means that. And the podcast shout-out is to Smoke and Mirrors Podcast, hosted by Rob, Triz, and Dave. The fellows review new movies and TV shows while generally just hanging out and relaxing. It's a fun podcast that sounds like hanging out with friends. And if you like them as much as I do, go and give them a listen, a review, and a rating. And the listener shout-out is to St. Croix Island. You are 100% of my listeners from the U.S. Virgin Islands. Originally inhabited by the Arawak and Taino people, the islands were given the name the Virgin Islands after the story of St. Ursula and the 11,000 virgins. So to the person who listened to my episode while hanging out in the Virgin Islands, thank you and good night.